Amy, please feel free to begin whenever you're ready.
Thanks, Jean, and welcome everyone to today's webinar. We're really excited to have the opportunity to share with you how these different technical assistance providers that we have been working with at EPA, how they can be available and help you with your brownfield projects. We've got five different organizations that you're going to hear from today, and there's a lot to cover. And so I invite you to type in your questions, as Jean said, and we will get to them as we go along. But from there, I just want to say that for this group, we've got communities from New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, all the way to the West Coast, from California and Arizona, Nevada, Washington State, Oregon, Idaho, and Hawaii, and all of our territories and tribes from these areas. And so we're just really thrilled that you could all be here to hear about these opportunities. And we really, our goal today is to help make sure that you know how to get in touch with these providers and that you feel comfortable reaching out to them and asking them questions. So I don't want to take a lot of time. The stars of our show are ready to tell you about each of their programs. We're going to start with the Center for Creative Land Recycling, who is our technical assistance to brownfield provider for these regions. And also we'll talk with Kansas State University, who's going to talk about our Tribal Tab technical assistance program, Groundwork USA, and then we'll hear from the Council of Development Finance Agencies, and finally wrap it up with the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute to talk about job training. So let's get started. I'm pleased to introduce to you our first speaker. Her name is Claire Weston. She's a program associate at the Center for Creative Land Recycling, running their technical assistance to brownfield program. And so Claire is gonna walk you through that program, and her colleague Jean Hammerman, the deputy director for the Center for Community Land Recycling, is also with her and may pipe in here or there. So Claire, why don't you take it away? Claire, we can't hear you.
Okay, Claire, you should be on mute now. Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you so much, Amy, for the introduction. I'm excited to speak with you all about the Center for Creative Land Recycling. As Amy said, I am the program associate on the East Coast for the Center for Creative Land Recycling.
We're going to call that right back up. Don't worry, Claire. We will make your materials reappear here in just one moment, so bear with me. Looks like they're getting called up right now.
All right, sorry about that. Okay, sorry. So for the Center for Creative Land Recycling is a 23-year-old nonprofit with a unique national voice in promoting equitable and sustainable reuse of brownfield and infield properties. Furthermore, as mentioned, we are EPA's a technical assistance to brownfield communities provider for 10 states around the country, which include regions 2, 9, and 10. And you can see that here in this map in green, region 2, 9, and 10. Region 2 also includes Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, which is not displayed here. It is also worth noting that SeaClear's headquarters are located in Oakland, but as we like to say, one organization, two coasts. Two of us, including myself, work on the East Coast in New York and focus on region 2, and the rest of us are in Oakland, and focus on regions 9 and 10.
And so, Claire, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just one brief second. Abe, I'm going to have you go ahead and restore those materials on the screen for her. And then we're going to adjust one or two settings here on our end, Claire. And then for our other speakers, we ask for your patience while we just change a couple of things. And then we'll go ahead and let Claire resume her presentation. Go ahead, Claire.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't quite know why that keeps happening, but I'll see what I can do to not press that button. okay, so I'm just going to say advance slide, if that's okay. Advance slide. Okay, great. Thank you. So as an organization, SeaClear seeks to help repurpose distressed and underutilized properties, and we want to provide you with the assistance to move your redevelopment projects forward so that together we can mitigate climate change by conserving open space and reusing existing infrastructure, improve community health through site remediation, and promote economic revitalization through housing and job creation. Advanced side piece. So we do that in a few ways. We seek to serve the redevelopment community by providing a range of value-added services like one-on-one technical assistance, EPA grant review, workshops and webinars, and online resources and newsletters. And I'll discuss each of those a little bit more in depth throughout this webinar. Next slide, please. Now, first of all, is technical assistance. And the main point here is that redevelopment is never a straight line. We understand that. So we'll meet you where you're at in the redevelopment process, and we can help you every step of the way. So if you're just beginning a project or need help getting started, we can help you identify brownfields in your community. We can help you develop a site inventory and can assist you in the process of prioritizing sites in that inventory for assessment and cleanup. Brownfield prioritization is a crucial first step on the path to community revitalization, so we want to ensure that you step in the right direction. We can also help you identify funding opportunities based on where the site is located. For example, is that property in an opportunity zone or tax increment financing area? And also by what's available or a good option for you based on the characteristics of the property. We keep our ears to the ground when it comes to new funding opportunities, so we can provide you with the most current funding information to help you build your capital stack. Your site may be unique, they always are, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to reinvent the wheel when it comes to funding and attracting investors. We've worked with a number of municipalities to help them develop their requests for expressions of interest, marketing sheets, and community outreach strategies, so we can provide you with samples of these core materials and assist you in developing your own so that you can market your property, attract investment, and activate your community. We also have an extensive network of federal, state, and local content experts that can answer questions, provide services, and offer valuable insights into your unique situation. Bottom line, if we can't help you, then we can definitely call on someone who can. So in sum, we understand that the road to redevelopment is not often a straight and easy one. We provide that tailored technical assistance so that we can help you navigate the process and reach your revitalization goals. Next slide, please. In addition to the tailored technical assistance that we provide, we also can help guide you through the EPA grant process and review your grant to give you the best possible shot of securing funding. We can help you identify which grant is right for you and give you an idea of what you should expect to accomplish before you begin the application process. We can assist you in the process of preparing for and completing each of the MACT grant types, including assessment grants, cleanup grants, multi-purpose grants, and also targeted brownfield assessment grants. Next slide, please. Our aim is really to improve your odds of winning in a very competitive grant cycle. This year, we helped secure $6.59 million in EPA grants nationwide, and we're advisors to several grantees who received an additional $3.8 million. In addition to assisting in the application prep activities, we also review your grant application in full once you've completed it. This thorough review includes using a detailed rubric, which allows us to assess how well your site characteristics and community attributes are being showcased in your application. We know what makes the application successful, so we can help you polish yours so that it stands out from the rest. And just a friendly reminder that everything that I've talked about thus far is free. Next slide, please. In addition to the tailored technical assistance that we provide, we also develop, facilitate, and host workshops and webinars across the country, allowing you to participate in valuable peer-to-peer learning and networking activities and ensuring that you receive the latest updates on land recycling trends and opportunities. We have a number of workshops coming up, which include two solar workshops, one in California and one in New York, a redevelopment conference in Brooklyn, New York that will focus on community development, a National Brownfield Leadership Summit, which is actually a planning meeting to discuss a policy conference in early 2020, and of course the National Brownfield Conference in 2019, which is in LA this year. We also encourage you to watch out for webinars in the Climate Change Series, Developer Series, and Environmental Justice Series, which we will be announcing details on in the next few weeks and months. Next slide, please. So I want to come back to the National Brownfield Conference because SeaClear this year has a strong presence presence at NDC, we will be hosting a leadership breakfast, happy hour, 2 tours, and 9 panels covering topics including nuclear decommissioning and corporate leadership. We're also bringing back our highly anticipated redevelopment rodeo, where you can learn how to highlight your property's assets, have the opportunity to pitch to a panel of redevelopment experts, and receive valuable feedback that will help you drive your redevelopment project forward. It's an exciting event, and I encourage you to seek more information and think about applying. We'll be releasing more information about that in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. All in all, NDC 2019 is shaping up to be a really incredible conference, December in LA, no less, so we hope to see many of you there. Next slide, please. You can stay up to date and in touch with what we're doing by following us online and on social media and subscribing to our newsletters. We disseminate a variety of land recycling resources and information through blogs, publications, webinars, as I've mentioned, and through our social media platform. All of our resources can be found on our website. We also encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter, grant funding opportunities, C-CLEAR and affiliate organization event announcements, and recycling news. Next slide, please. So one thing that I want to highlight here is a case study, and I like this case study a lot, A, because it's recent, and B, because it encompasses and touches on all of the ways that C-CLEAR can assist in moving redevelopment projects forward. Following a couple unsuccessful grant application attempts, Onondaga County, which is located in upstate New York, was competitively selected to pitch their raw steel site at C-CLEAR's redevelopment rodeo in Albany, New York. Onondaga used this experience to meet a network of redevelopment experts who provided useful insights and helped expedite the assessment process, and they came to an agreement with New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to make that happen. Participating in the redevelopment rodeo and attending the conference in general, coupled with continued technical expertise from C-CLEAR, so that the town is up to reapply for an EPA cleanup grant for raw steel in 2017, and this time got that grant for $200,000 in EPA cleanup grant. In the years since this EPA cleanup grant was awarded, the raw steel property continues forward with 8 buildings being demolished and an agreement with New York State DEC established to divide the site for cleanup. And bringing this whole story full circle, after this grant was awarded, Onondaga County partnered with C-CLEAR and the City of Syracuse to host the Igniting Revitalization Through Land Reuse workshop in October 2008, allowing for continued peer-to-peer learning, networking, and shared lessons learned. Next slide, please. And you can see some of these pictures here. On the left is the raw steel site, and on the right you have Mayor Mac Mahone of the City of Syracuse, both at the site and then also at the summit that was co-hosted in Syracuse. You can learn all about this in MISAC spring and summer newsletter. Next slide, please. So how we can help you. Make us your first call. We can provide that tailored technical assistance to meet you where you're at in your redevelopment process and help you get to where you need to be. Also, subscribe to our newsletters to get up-to-date information on funding opportunities, events, and just general land recycling news. Next slide, please. And here's all of our contact information. I look forward to hearing from some of you.
Super. Thank you, Claire. Really appreciate that. And we've been getting some questions like, are these slides and the contact information available? Yes, download this. And like Claire said, reach out to them and let them know about your project and what kind of help you think you need. Okay, great. Thank you, Claire. We're going to move on to our next speaker. We're going to hear from Blaise Levin from Kansas State University's Technical Assistance to Brownfield Program. Blaise is the director of the Center for Hazardous Substance Research and Technical Assistance for Brownfields at KSU, and he's going to talk with you about some national technical assistance resources and also tribal technical assistance. So take it away, Blaise.
Thank you very much, and it's great to get a chance to say hello to everyone. As was said, Kansas State University's TAB program coordinates the national aspects of the program, which includes national workshops and webinars, e-tools, and the tribal TAB program. And this is all in partnership with the Center for Creative Land Recycling, NJIT, which covers much of the East Coast on a regional basis, and then K-State covers the purple-colored midsection of the country. So as far as workshops and webinars go, we kind of have a standard suite of workshops that are listed on the slide that we give and tailor to particular audiences on a national scale at national events such as the Brownfields conference coming up in LA, that the redevelopment rodeo that Claire spoke of is a perfect example of one of those types of workshops. We also present at national tribal workshops, and we have certain types of events we present there, and that usually always involves tribal speakers. One thing I wanted to call out is first a hello and congratulations to all the new grantees, EPA Brownfields grantees out there, and wanted to let you know that there is also a series of new grantee webinars that started last year, First Things First, getting your accounts set up so money can flow, all those kinds of things. And most recently, there was one on community engagement that was, I think, very good, gave some insights to really how to have a good community engagement approach, and which is super critical to really do a good job with your grants. So please check those out. They're recorded. On the e-tool side of things, we created and now maintain the Brownfields Inventory Tool, which is an internal tool that you and your colleagues behind the scenes, not publicly available, store and prioritize all kinds of information on your sites. It's structured after the kind of the Brownfields redevelopment process, so you enter information according to that where you are in your process. You can upload photos, generate simple maps, and it's very useful. It's kind of a one place you can have everything behind the scenes as you're running your program. If you're a tribe and you have oversight and enforcement aspects to your tribal response program, you can also store information on things like complaints or spill events, site inspections, enforcement actions taken maybe. You can upload those photos, as mentioned before, sampling information, including latitude, longitude information. You can have an activity log. All of this allows you to create that administrative record needed to really have a good program, especially if you're possibly doing enforcement actions. Another aspect of all of this is in addition to kind of a desktop or web version of this, which it, by the way, is password protected. It's your own account. No one can see it but you or people you designate. There is also the MobileBit app that allows you to collect data in the field, whether you have a data connection or not through cell or a web connection. You can do it offline. Before I tell you a little more about that, I also do want to mention that information you store in BIT has a feature that you can report any information, progress on assessments and cleanup to ACRES through an ACRES interface on BIT. So again, that becomes public once you do that, once you report things to ACRES, but it has that interface to allow you to do that. That's helpful to grantees. Okay, and again, back to the mobile smartphone app. Again, you can collect latitude, longitude, all kinds of things in the field. Again, and you can do that offline. So that if you're in Alaska or a remote part of the U.S. where you live and work, you can still collect that information and eventually sync it with the web version of BIT and have that information handy for your use. I did want to point out that not only the K-State website, but the other regional tab providers have excellent websites with excellent resources on them. One web resource that's new and it comes with a tribal technical assistance to brownfields program is the Tribal Brownfields Forum. That is a tribal networking or a tribal environmental professional networking platform for peer learning and professional development that we believe is going to be very successful. If you are a tribe or you're working with tribes, please check it out at the URL on the slide. Click the Get Involved button, and the rest you'll get to see. So that leads me into the Tribal Technical Assistance to Brownfields program, and basically provides technical assistance on things tribal response programs are doing, so 128A grantees, but it also includes tribes that are writing 104K, you know, competitive grants, and the information. You can see how the topics displayed on the slide, on the right side of the slide, is how it's organized on the Tribal Brownfields Forum. Okay, so the type of technical assistance is pretty much the same or the approach that CCLEAR or any of the other regional TAB providers do. It's basically providing expertise in planning, environmental assessment and cleanup, and economic development, but it's in a tribal context and it's with tribal partners. So for example, for tribes in Alaska, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium coordinates that work, and K-State and CCLEAR and NJIT, we all work together to support them, and they have their own expertise they bring to it, and it works really well. We usually do work with the Tribal Brownfields Coordinator, or if there isn't one, it's usually going to be a lead person. Say if it's in Alaska, it could be a Native community council person, or it could be a corporation council person. Just a listing of the type of one-on-one assistance we provide. Again, pretty consistent with non-tribal communities, but again, it involves tribal partners in providing this assistance. Workshops is one thing we also help organize, and again, though, it's with tribes. It's, you know, tribes are hosting and speaking and providing input on what those workshops are going to be about and what needs are getting addressed. And here's just kind of a laundry list of topics we are typically presenting on, and present kind of a menu of options so that we routinely present on. Take a look at that, please. And so basically, if you're interested in assistance from us, there's no formal application process. You can contact your regional TAB provider, such as CCLEAR, who we work with all the time, and they'll, if needed, reach out to us, to Scott Nightingale on the slide here, who's the National Tribal TAB Coordinator, and we'll put a team together and figure out how to help. Or you can call us directly, and we'll most likely reach out to CCLEAR as well. And again, we just put a team together, and we help, and it's a real joy to get to collaborate with tribes and with communities in general. And with that, I will thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Blaze. Excellent. We actually had a couple questions come in. One I'm going to ask you, and the other one I'm going to put out there for discussion after we get through the rest of our speakers. So, Blaze, the question that I wanted to have you quickly answer is the Tribal Technical Assistance Program for trust lands only, or can fee-owned lands participate as well?
Yes, they can participate. The key is it's a tribal brownfields situation, and that there's a community, there's a lead individual to work with that has the voice of the community, but also the support of the tribal council. Those kinds of things, and we best thing to do is just call us, and we talk through everything and see if it's something we think we can help with. But it's pretty flexible. But it's primarily designed to help to assist with the tribal response program folks. But again, any tribal community could receive our help.
Great, thank you. And then the question I'm just going to put out there, but we'll talk about it at the very end, is a question or two that came in about if the speakers could talk about any resources that are available for small and very rural communities that are in remote locations to help assess and clean up brownfields. So we've got a lot of participants on the line today from communities like that who want to know what, could be extra beneficial for them.
Sure. So do you want to do that later or now?
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end of the call. I just wanted to put that out
Great.
There.
Very good.
Okay, super. Thank you, Blaze. We're going to move to our next speaker. Her name is Kate Mingoya, and Kate is the Director of Capacity Building for Groundwork USA, and she's going to talk with you about the grant that she has from EPA's Brownfields Land Revitalization Program to help support equitable development approaches through brownfields cleanup and reuse. So, all yours, Kate.
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Amy, and thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. My name is Kate Mingoya, and I'm the Director of Capacity Building at Groundwork USA. And what we're going to cover today is I'm going to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do. I'm going to talk to you about some ready-to-roll tools and resources that you can hop online and download from our website and use today, and then also tell you a bit more about our free technical assistance program, sort of the things that we do, how to get in contact with us, things we don't do, stuff like that. So a little bit about Groundwork USA. We are a people-centered environmental organization and have a very strong belief that there's a big relationship between where folks live, their environmental well-being, and then their physical and emotional and holistic health. And so we have a couple of different connections to that work. One is in our land and waterway reclamation and restoration. So it's really thinking about holistically, mostly urban environments, but we do work in rural communities as well. How can you make sure that the redevelopment of land and the care of waterways benefits directly the people who are abutting it and benefits the community? We do a lot of education and youth development, youth job training programs, and then do a lot of work in community mobilization and organizing as well. And you can learn tons more about us or the variety of projects outside of our brownfield work on our website, groundworkusa.org. Our Brownfields connection is twofold. One, we do work with the EPA to offer free technical assistance for any community that has brownfields in it. And our work is focused directly on equitable development. And if you're not familiar with that term or you're not quite sure what we mean by it, I'm going to get to that in a minute, so don't worry. Our second connection is that Groundwork is actually set up as a federation system. So I work for Groundwork USA, but we're also connected to about 20 trusts across the country that do brownfields of work, often turning the underutilized parcels into things like urban farms and parks and playgrounds. So while they don't do technical assistance through the K7, through this brownfields program, I do encourage you to hop online and see if there is a Groundwork trust in your community, because it's always good to have lots of friends who do work in this space. So again, we at Groundwork USA are the ones who provide that assistance, that technical assistance around equitable development. But I do encourage you to look us up and see if there's folks in your community doing similar work on brownfields. So one of the big questions that you might be asking is, Kate, what is equitable development and why does it matter? And how will pursuing it benefit around my brownfield project? How will pursuing it benefit my community? And once you have some answers to those questions, you might say, well, I'm interested, but how can Groundwork USA help me out? Well, just at a really high level, Groundwork USA's philosophy is that the way to do equitable development is that the community needs to realize the benefits of redevelopment. There is a long history of communities developing brownfield sites, and those didn't happen in one fell swoop. There's usually sort of a long history. So there's not going to be sort of one panacea or one giant solution that's going to sort of fix the brownfield site and fix a variety of the problems that have led to the brownfield site occurring in that community. And so we believe that if you engage the community, if you make sure that those folks benefit from the redevelopment of that parcel, you're going to have wiser, stronger, and more stable solutions. You're going to be able to respond directly to what the community needs actually are. You're going to be able to build those relationships that are vital to keeping people involved for the long haul. Brownfield projects are not, you know, 1 week, 1 month affairs. They can often span for multiple years. So pursuing an equitable development or doing your work through an equitable development lens is a really great way to make sure that you keep folks in for the long haul and keep them committed to fighting for the progress on this project. And it also helps you to write the history of injustice. As I mentioned before, a lot of our communities that are brownfield affected, they didn't, you know, become like that overnight. There's usually a sort of a history of that needs to be addressed, needs to be reckoned with. And making sure that the community realizes the benefits of that redevelopment is a way to address that history. Well, we do have available on our website are a variety of tools and resources that you can hop on and take a look at today. So I encourage you to head to our website, groundworkusa.org, and check out our Brownfields tab, and you'll find tons of resources. For example, the Brownfields to Parks Guide, which is a walk through the process of identifying a site, getting stakeholders on board, leveraging community assets, and keeping folks involved from site identification through the ribbon cutting. So how do you keep folks involved for the long haul? How do you develop a board of stakeholders to really stick with you and both give feedback and also their time and energy into these projects? You also might be interested in intergenerational strategies. I personally think that a lot of magic happens when you bring together older members of the community and younger members of the community. When you are able to honor the history of community elders and folks who have been around in that community for a long time, and also look at the way that the community is through the lens of younger folks and sort of engage in that intergenerational dialogue. We have a community engagement curriculum called Neighborhood Voices, which is sort of a youth-centered approach to that, so having youth lead that intergenerational and trans-community dialogue. So I encourage you to hop on our website and check that out. We also have work related to trauma-informed equitable development. Many of the communities that are brownfield affected are dealing with issues that go beyond the brownfield, so maybe folks are dealing with food insecurity, or economic revitalization is needed there, or there are other health or social issues, community violence, things like that. And when you are trying to meaningfully pull together residents and non-resident stakeholders to have a conversation around the site, you might end up dealing with those questions around those other issues. So when you're in a brownfield redevelopment process, how do you both sort of honor and address those other issues without letting them completely take over that process? So we have some information about that in our trauma-informed equitable development white paper. We also have a number of really small one-off tools about best practices and action plans. Maybe if any of you have attended or have been to community meetings before, you might have this question of why is no one coming to my community meeting, or why is turnout not what I expected it to be? We have a couple of best practices to make sure that you are making the most of your planning time and of the time that you're spending with residents. So that's just a really, really tiny taste of the broad number of tools and resources that we have. So I encourage you to hop on our website and check it out. You might say, Kate, those resources that you've listed, that's not exactly what I need. I might need something different related to community engagement, equitable development, or I might not know what I need. Well, that might make you a really great candidate for our one-on-one technical assistance program. And what we do in that technical assistance program is help you figure out what you need to work towards making sure that the community is meaningfully engaged and realizes the benefit of that brownfield development. And we do that in kind of a three-pronged approach. The first is we help clients develop strategies. So how do you build relationships to get your points across and to get your project across the finish line? How do you scope and scale your project? We can help out with that. How do you develop a robust and broad coalition of stakeholders that are going to be really interested in activating the site and fighting for the progress of that project? We also develop tools like the ones I showed you before. Make connections between you and other folks who might be useful, and have a variety of resources that can help you to sort of act on that strategy. And then finally, our third prong is in developing action plans. So developing a robust community engagement strategy, developing steering committees, concrete plans that are going to help you get from where you are to where your goal is in realizing equitable development of that brownfield site. So a couple examples of that are things like our community engagement strategies. We recently in Lafayette, Louisiana, launched a Photo Voices program where youth in the community were brought together in an intergenerational dialogue to talk about the history and the future of a particular corridor in Lafayette. And it engaged in a conversation about the future of that site. So sort of a community visioning, looking back at the history of the site, looking at where it is now, and looking forward. So we helped them develop that community engagement plan. We also help develop theories of change and logic models so that you can make sure you're scoping and scaling your project correctly and are bringing in community members and important stakeholders at the right time. We also are able to offer training to you and people in your community. A lot of folks don't know what a brownfield is. Actually, even sort of explaining my job to my mother-in-law, I told her about brownfields, and she says, oh, you mean sites that don't have grass on them. So a lot of folks are not necessarily familiar with some of the terminology around it, and making sure that your community can access that is really important to keeping folks involved in it for the long haul. We're a relatively small team at Groundwork USA. We've got 3 folks that are working, but we've worked on sites from Santa Clara Pueblo in New Mexico to Baltimore, Maryland, up to Flint, Michigan. So we've broadly covered the country. Although, particular shout out to the folks in the Northwest. We're really eager to work and hear from you folks. We haven't gotten a chance to work with you yet. And just listed below mine, audience, these pictures, you'll see a couple of the specialties that we have to offer. So if you have a brownfield project in mind that you want to work on, if you are interested in exploring what equitable development means, if you have concrete needs or abstract needs, or want us to just be a thought partner and a sounding board, I really encourage you to reach out for free technical assistance. Send me an email. Do it today. My name's right up on the screen. Or you can explore a little bit more about what we offer by heading to our website, groundworkusa.org. You'll find more about our TA program there. You'll find more about our tools and resources. And I hope to hear from you soon. This is really fun and engaging and important work, and I'm so happy to get the chance to share it with you today.
Excellent, Kate. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all that, all the great resources that we have available to folks to support this kind of community involvement and equitable development. Our next speaker is from the Council of Development Finance Agencies, and this organization has a grant from EPA's Brownfields and Land Revitalization Program to support communities who are interested in understanding funding and financing tools that could be available to clean up and reuse brownfields. And so James Metz is with us today. He's the coordinator for research and technical assistance at CDFA. So thanks, James. All yours.
Awesome. Thank you for that introduction. And hello. My name is James Metz. I'm a coordinator on the research and technical assistance team here at CDFA. I've recently transitioned into managing the Brownfields program with the help of my colleague, Kayla Matsumoto. I'd like to first thank the EPA for inviting us to present about the CDFA Brownfields Technical Assistance Program. The program would not be possible without their support. CDFA does not provide legal, accounting, or professional advice. Similarly, CDFA is not herein engaged in rendering legal, accounting, financial, or other advisory services. We encourage you to seek expert counsel should you need direct advice on the subject matter. I want to briefly introduce CDFA. The Council of Development Finance Agencies is a 37-year-old national nonprofit trade association devoted to providing research, resources, education, and networking opportunities to communities and economic development finance practitioners across the U.S. From bond financing to TIF and special assessment to tax credits to revolving loan fund, CDFA touches the whole gamut of financing tools available to communities to support their economic development ecosystem. About 70% of the people we work with are from the public sector and the quasi-public sector, and the remaining 30% are from the private and nonprofit sector. Our Brownfield Technical Assistance Program is a part of our research and technical assistance team. The program has 4 key characteristics and opportunities for communities with brownfield sites to gain some information, resource, and guidance on what is the most difficult part of redevelopment. Financing. I'm going to walk through them very briefly in this presentation. First, I'd like to introduce you to our Brownfields Program website. You can find it by visiting cdfabrownfields.org, or you can also find it on our main website, cdfa.net, by clicking on to the Brownfields research page. The first major benefit that we provide to communities with brownfields is a resource. Our Brownfields Financing Toolkit is a database full of brownfield-specific case studies and information on all the new tools we cover here at CDFA. CDFA has a long history of research, an incredible research team who is constantly searching for new examples of great projects, ideas, and innovative solutions to financing brownfields redevelopment. All resources in the Brownfields Financing Toolkit are free and available to communities, so I encourage you to visit our website and explore. I wanted to briefly show an example of what one of those resource pages looks like. Here's our bond section. You'll find each toolkit has a good core resources to explain the who, what, and how of each tool. Another significant resource that I'd like to mention is our Brownfields Finance Update newsletter, also completely free. This monthly newsletter is the best way to keep up with the Brownfields projects happening across the United States. CDFA staff aggregates the headlines daily on topics we cover and then handpicks each month the best of the best of what's happening in the brownfield finance world. Another part of our technical assistance program that I'd like to discuss is our webinar series. For the past 5 years, CDFA has been producing specific and topical brownfield financing webinars on everything from TIF structuring to renewable energy development on contaminated land and even food systems development on brownfields. The webinars are an hour and a half, and you can view recordings and download the presentations for everyone we've produced for free on the CDFA Brownfields website. Next, I'd like to talk about our direct technical assistance work. The first way to gain direct technical assistance is through our Brownfields project marketplace. Typically, CDFA's technical assistance is most applicable, as I mentioned earlier, to figuring out how to find end-use financing. The Brownfields Project Marketplace is a way for communities at very early stages of thinking about the end-use of the Brownfield site. Communities present either online or in person at an event to a group of advisors, and you can get quick, pointed feedback on financing and redevelopment strategies for the community's specific project. Next, I want to give you a little bit more information about our most powerful and value-added type of technical assistance, which is on-site project response teams. CDFA staff and two hand-picked advisors attend 1.5 to 2 days of meetings with stakeholders from the community. We learn about the project from every perspective, learn about the challenges, constraints, and opportunities. Our team then produces a road to redevelopment report with both of our next step recommendations to get the project moving and our financing recommendations based on the proposed end use. Communities are chosen for this technical assistance based on their readiness to discuss the project in terms of financing. We are best suited for communities with an in-use already proposed. We provide the best feedback when communities already have soft development numbers or are thinking through any gap financing. Here are all the technical assistance trips we've made over the past 5 years. We've been lucky to have had the chance to make an impact throughout the nation. I wanted to give you a couple of projects. Examples, Snohomish County wanted to reuse a former landfill, now municipal park, into a new food hub for the local communities. With aggregation facilities, a farmer's market, and commercial kitchen space, the community wanted to give more outlets that supported farming in the country north of Seattle, which had seen a significant farmland reduction over the past 20 years. This one we completed in February at Arnoville, Louisiana, where they wanted to reuse an abandoned hospital as a new cultural immersion center for Cajun, Creole, and French Louisiana. This center had the potential to be a significant economic driver of the already strong place-based economic development initiatives. We met and discussed some of the studies and documentation that needed to be done to update their business plan, and then worked on educating the community on potential public finance tools like 501c3 bonds and historic tax credits. Another project we provided technical assistance for was in Casper, Wyoming, where they were looking to embark on a large hotel and conference center as part of their downtown revitalization. We discussed many of the challenges associated with two potential project sites and educated the communities on opportunity zones, private activity bonds, and new markets tax credits. Lastly, just to mention a couple events coming up, We have technical assistance openings for our project response team visits and the project marketplaces. We have an online one August 15th and one during National Summit in November. This year is different contacts. If you cannot get a hold of me, we also have Pearl Jean Mabe and Malcolm Guy, both who have spent a significant time working on various projects with us. Here we have an ad for summer school, August 12th through the 16th in Detroit, Michigan. This is where you can come and learn about various financing tools. Our national summit is in Tampa, Florida this year, November 6th through the 8th. So our in-person project marketplace will be during that time frame. If you're in that area, I guess the closest one would be Puerto Rico. You can come up and visit us. Once again, contact information. And that's it. If you have any questions, please ask or call me. Thank you.
Super. Thanks, James. Really quick question for you. Does the CDF, does the tax credit resources section on your website include any information about state programs?
It does moderately. It mostly focuses on Brownfield specifically.
Great. Thank
federal
you.
Federal programs as well.
Okay. Cool. Great. Okay. Wonderful. Thanks, James. We're going to move to our last speaker, Heather Ballou. And Heather is the project coordinator at the Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, leading up the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute's grant to support environmental workforce development and job training. And so Heather's here to talk with you about the different ways that her organization can support your local efforts to encourage brownfields and other environmental area job training programs. So go ahead, Heather.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all very much again for joining today. And we're just excited to chat a little bit about HMTRI. So as Amy mentioned, HMTRI stands for the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute. We were established in 1987 as part of Eastern Iowa Community Colleges to promote environmental jobs through education and training. So we've worked under a cooperative agreement with the EPA on the Brownfields Initiative, providing that technical assistance to communities that are interested in starting these environmental workforce development and job training programs, or EPA-funded grantees. Now, as we talk through the presentation today, I will refer to the Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training Program as EWDJT. So just go by the acronyms to save a little bit of time. So for those of you who may not be familiar with this EWDJT program, what the Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training grantees do is recruit, train, and place local unemployed and underemployed residents with the skills needed to secure full-time employment in the environmental field. So this grant is about $200,000 that's awarded over a three-year period. Year one and two have ramp up and delivery of courses, and year three will be focused on ramp down, employment, and tracking. The most recent RFP for the fiscal year 20 grant cycle just closed back in June, so we are in sort of what we call the long wait. We are anxiously awaiting the announcements of who will be the newest EWDJT grantees. So HMTRI has a variety of resources that we offer to these grantees to really help with capacity building and technical assistance. So one of the first ones that we have that we always like to hit on is our online resources. We have a fantastic website. We call it brownfields-toolbox.org, and that's just a repository for all things workforce related. I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth on that as we go on in this presentation. We also have our professional learning community. We also call those PLC. These phone calls allow for an opportunity for informal discussion, presentations, and really a great opportunity for grantees to showcase their program. Another resource that we have is our annual all-grantee meeting. This is a great opportunity for grantees and prospective grantees, regional coordinators, and other EPA folk to meet face-to-face and engage in informative sessions and peer-to-peer learning experiences. We also host webinars. We have a yearly webinar that focuses on different topics depending on what's relevant to the grantees and prospective grantees. And we also have newsletters. So we put those out every 2 months. And again, they're just really focusing on critical issues for those grantees. We do keep a listserv, and that's a great way for us to be able to ask questions, share good news, gather information. and just keep in touch with all the grantees that are out there around the nation. We also provide individual technical assistance. This is something that we do when requested, but it's also a great opportunity to highlight topics that might be of interest to all of the grantees around there. So if we've heard a couple of questions that we think sound really awesome, you know, maybe that's going to be the topic on our next PLC phone call or one of our next dues letters. We find great ways to share some of that information. Now, I mentioned with our listserv that that's something that we can use to gather information. And so one of the things that we come up after we kind of reach out to all the different grantees that are out there is things like the social media directory. So if you guys are interested in learning a little bit more about some of these EWDJT programs, you know, we have a really great document that tells you all the different websites, Facebook pages, Instagram, whatever the grantees happen to have readily available so that we can reach out to them and learn a little bit more about their programs. Now, if you're someone who says, you know, I don't know about training these workforce people is what I'm looking for, but I could really use some really great trained workers, that's where our Employee Finder might come in and be of interest to you as well. What we did was we reached out to all the different grantees, and we got their contact information, when are the graduates going to be available, and what type of core curriculums and graduate competencies are they expecting to see in their students when they graduate. So if you're a local employer that's looking for a trained workforce, that might be a really great way to go in and see what are these students coming out and learning when they finish one of these EWDJT programs. And the last thing that we really like as well is our MentorLink program, and that's just a great way that we help facilitate this peer-to-peer sharing of knowledge and skills. So exploring this brownfieldstoolbox.org website that we have, again, this is just sort of our repository for everything that we've created that's been workforce related. So I'm just going to kind of talk to you about a couple of the resources that are available on here. When you first open up the webpage, you know, you'll notice that there's a series of fantastic tabs right at the top of the page. And the very first tab will take you to our Start a Program page. If you wanted to learn a little bit more about starting an EWDJT program, what it might entail, and a little bit more about sort of the pre-work that's involved before these grants go out, this is a really, really in-depth page for you to be able to explore and learn more about those programs. The next tab that we have is our Downloads tab. Now, there's a variety of resources available under that Downloads tab, including things like the Employee Finder that I mentioned earlier. But another one that's on there is what's pictured on the screen here, and this is for our most recent publication, which is the Environmental Job Training Program's Critical Components and Best Practices. This publication explores key components to a highly successful program, and we do have printed copies available of this as well upon request, but it's a really fantastic document where we sort of glean the best of the best out of all the grantees that we've worked with and what are some things that really helped make their programs exceptional and sustainable and all sorts of things. The next tab is a locations map. We really like this one as well. This will be a great one to show you any past grantees and current grantees that are around the nation. So if you're looking in your area, again, if you want to see if there's anybody offering any of these EWDJT programs in your area, or if you're, again, your employer and you're trying to find that trained workforce, this might be a nice way to see what type of grantees are out there, and it'll link you to their website and contact information and things like that as well. The next tab, and I'm not going to go on that one in depth, is just the Connect News. That's where we keep all of those newsletters that I mentioned that we put out every 2 months as well. So it's a great way to just always be able to see what we've been putting out in that session. Okay, our last tab over here is called PLC Sessions. Again, this is our professional learning community. Now, this is a phone call that we do every 2 weeks. And it's a really great way to have these informal discussions and you know, share information with grantees and have some peer-to-peer knowledge sharing as well. So on our website, you can find recordings and notes from all, actually it's now going to be 214 sessions of the PLC that we've had. And so just to talk to you guys a little bit more about that, we started this back in 2009, but again, it's a really, really great way for us to be able to explore with the grantees everything that an organization needs to create a sustainable EWDJT program. Topics are chosen by whatever is relevant based off of where we're at in the grant cycle. In other words, things that present grantees are experiencing and things prospective grantees might be interested in. It's a mix of open discussion, presentations, and peer-to-peer problem solving. And then we have accompanying notes that come out. Typically on Friday, they'll get emailed out. And those provide additional details and additional information that might be of interest to the grantees as well. So PLC calls occur every 2 weeks for 30 minutes, and as we always say, same time, same place. The phone number and access code is listed on the slide here. It's always on a Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So in fact, we actually have a PLC session that's going on currently as we speak on this webinar, but we would invite you all to come back and join us again in 2 weeks for our next one. If you guys are interested in learning more about what HMTRI can offer, the EWG-JT program, or joining any of our listservs, please feel free to reach out to me. We would love to chat with you guys a little bit more about this opportunity. And with that, Amy, I will pass it back over to you.
Thank you, Heather. And thanks to all of our speakers for getting in such great and timely and informative presentations all within the hour. Way to go, everyone. So for those of you who can stick around, we have a few more minutes to talk through a handful of the questions that came in. Obviously, if you need to go, that's fine. We're going to keep this recording going, and we'll share the archive later so you can come back and find out what you missed. But the first question I have for this group is just, to check in on timeframes. We had someone ask about, you know, how long is this technical assistance going to be available? So if you all could just, starting with DClear and running through down the order through which we spoke today, just talk about how long you expect your program to be available to communities based on your grant funding. So Claire?
Sure. We're on a 5-year grant cycle, and we're in the beginning of our fourth year. So another year, and then we hope the TAB program will be renewed at that time.
Great, thank you. Blaise?
Yeah, same for us, except we're running through June of 2021, and the tribal TAB program runs through June of 2022.
Great, thank you. Kate?
Hi, we are granted through September of 2020, and one of the things that I wanted to say about sort of the length of our engagements is that they vary tremendously. Sometimes they're really short, kind of one-on-one things that are, you know, a couple of hours in conversation. Sometimes they can span for weeks or months, so there's just a wide range in terms of whatever your needs are.
Awesome. James?
Yep, we're exactly the same. September 2020 is our extension end date, and we are still running several marketplaces until then, and project response team visits.
Great, okay. And Heather?
So we are in the final year of our current cycle with TAB assistance, but we are looking to continue that relationship in the future as well.
Right, thank you, yes. Okay, great, appreciate that. Let's go back to the question that I posed earlier. Can any of the speakers, well, I'll start with Tab, but then any of the other speakers, please feel free to weigh in if you had anything to add about, you know, any kind of specific resources that are available to small and rural communities in remote locations that are struggling with brownfield sites.
Sure. Hi, this is Jean Hammerman. Obviously, you have some unique challenges being in remote locations, and the best thing is to contact us for some one-on-one conversations where we can determine what your needs are and assist you with getting those resources. One of the first things we would do would just obviously be to do sort of an asset inventory and understand what sites you have and go through a list of some information that we would collect that we think would be useful to you in understanding the site characteristics and features, municipal readiness, and financing options for you.
Thanks, Jean. Blaise, yep. Do you have anything to add? Or?
Yeah, on the national e-tools and things, certainly we can have web meetings with you and get you started using the Brownfields inventory tool in partnership with what Jean said, thinking through getting inventory started. Well, we can help you use BIT, and we'll even come to your community. I don't care how small, if you're interested and you're set up to do some good work, we'll come and do a workshop and get you started using BIT or the smartphone app, as well as wanted to mention you can download successful past ARC or MARC proposals from our website. Those are helpful. You can also use, we have a TabEasy grant writing tool that helps you draft assessment and cleanup grants applications. So, you know, all of those any size community can use, and many small ones use them and use them successfully. On the tribal front, the national tribal front, we can, just like Gene said, you know, we can come to your community, and we routinely help very small tribal communities in remote places. So the key, again, is to make that contact with us, a call, email, and we start thinking about what we can do for you. And, again, one thing we can offer that's very useful in a tribal setting is community engagement advice and reuse planning for brownfields in your area. And that's in a tribal context, so that doesn't mean necessarily economic redevelopment. It could be natural resources restoration or, you know, whatever. The community always defines what a brownfield is. So with that, I'll pass the mic.
Thanks, Blaze. Do James, Kate, or Heather have anything to add?
This is Kate from Groundwork. I would say just reach out to us, and you know, we're happy to see what resources we have available to you. A lot of the techniques that we use and a lot of the tools and resources are deployable in communities of any size. It's really focused on equity and on relationship building, and those are things I think everyone can get on board with and work on. So feel free to give us an email, give us a call, and we'll see if we can help out.
Great.
Yeah, I would
the
like to.
The important thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to jump back in and say that peer, you know, connecting you with other small rural municipalities is also very helpful in just in terms of peer learning and identifying some best practices.
Great. Thanks, Jean. And then James?
I just wanted to echo the sentiment that was just said previously. I don't have any exact recommendations right now, but if you reach out to me, I will work with any community. It doesn't matter if you're urban or rural. We'll figure out what works for you and come up with a plan.
Great. And just to reiterate, go ahead, Heather.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all right. I was going to say, HM Materi will very similar things as well. Just reach out to us. You know, there's been grantees in the past and current that we still are in contact with that have been in a variety of different communities, and so I'm sure we can find someone to help with some peer-to-peer knowledge sharing as well as our own insights that we've gleaned over the years.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. So just a couple more things really fast. We have a reminder, though, all of this is free. Everything we've talked about today is free to you as you're dealing with brownfield sites, and so we want you to be sure to take advantage of these technical assistance providers while they're available. So two more quick questions that came in. One, I think it's primarily for CCLEAR and for KSU Tribal. Do you have any experience working with Alaska Native corporations? And if so, what does that relationship look like?
Jean, do you want to go first?
I'll start and then obviously jump in. CCLEAR is the top provider for Alaska, and so best person to reach out would be Ignacio DeWitt, who has done extensive work there and could best assist you. So I'm not familiar with that personally. I'm in the East Coast, but we do have expertise and resources that could help you in Alaska.
Thanks. And Blaze here, I'll tag in that especially it seems in my experience in working with Ignacio, everything Gene said is true, and if a native corporation is applying for a competitive grant, that certainly is what CCLEAR is going to really help with a lot, and they do that a lot. And if it's a native community, because of the way the laws work there, it might be the National Tribal Tab that would assist. But either way, we collaborate and figure out the best way to help. And again, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium has experience and knows the lay of the land with respect to how the corporations versus the villages work. And I've personally been involved with several technical assistance efforts now. And it, you know, but yeah, that I know why you're asking the question, because sometimes it's challenging to work with those corporations, but you know, we just apply the principles, and sometimes it works out. So give us a call.
Thank you, Blaze. Okay, and our last question is for Kate, if she's still available. Kate, there was a question that came in on how would you find out more information about becoming a groundwork trust and who is eligible? And just for clarity, like that's a separate program from this grant, but it's all under groundwork. Take it away.
thank you so much. So our letter of interest, actually due today, so it's a little late for this cycle, but if you hop onto the groundworkusa.org website and hop on our mailing list, when we do our next letter of interest, which will be in about like March, April, May of next year for the next cycle, you'll be able to hop on our webinar and learn more about the process. But funnily enough, the deadline is today, so unfortunately that one has been missed, but encourage you to reach out.
Thanks, Kate. Okay, great questions that came in, everyone. Thank you, and thanks to all our presenters and all of our participants. This will be archived, and I'm going to turn it over to Jean to close us out.
Thank you so very much, Amy. Let me walk the audience through just a few quick reminders. Now, a number of you had asked for copies of the presentation materials. We already have those posted on the seminar resources page. So if you look on the middle right of your screen under related URLs, you'll see a link labeled Seminar Resources. Just click that link and press the Browse To button to open them up locally on your own computer. If you're looking for contact information for any of our presenters or organizers, you'll also find that on the seminar homepage. We've also placed that on the related URLs window. I would ask you to take just a brief moment to fill out our online feedback form and let us know what you thought of today's session. One of the most common requests we get are for certification or participation certificates for our sessions. So if you fill out that online feedback form, there will be a box you can click on the bottom of it to certify you were here for the whole thing. Once you fill in that form and check that box and submit it in, you'll immediately have access to a certificate that you can either download or print out for your own records. If you happen to have a group participating from your location, each person who sat with you can still fill that form out on their own to get their own certificate, even if they didn't register individually. Just make sure you share that link to the seminar feedback form with those who sat in the room with you. And again, today's session was recorded, so if you were unable to stay with us here to the very end, remember we will send you a link and you can replay the entire session, including this additional time where we walk through our final questions and comments from our speakers. And so with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us for today's live broadcast. We had over 120 people check in live for today's session. We hope that this has been a valuable expenditure of your time, and we'll have you on another Internet seminar with us in the future. This will be the formal conclusion for today.